Welcome to Quinn's Empowerment Hour on the BBS Radio Network, hosted by Quinn Lay Erickson, psychotherapist, life coach, and inspirational speaker. Quinn's experience as a blind woman, a boat person from Vietnam, and a refugee has driven her to realize her dream to help you to become the best that you can be. So join Quinn every other Saturday, 9 p.m. Pacific Time, for an hour of insight and inspiration for your heart, your spirit, and your soul. Good evening, this is Quinn's Empowerment Hour with Quinn Lay Erickson. Thank you for joining me tonight. Today is February 6th, and 8 days from now will be Valentine's Day. And actually, it will be our 1 year wedding anniversary as well. And so in anticipation of Valentine's Day, I thought I would share with you about a workshop that is, I think, is quite powerful for couples and would be very helpful. It's called Getting the Love You Want. And this is a certified and trademark workshop. And this workshop is run in many, many cities. And workshop facilitators will tell you later on that it's also being run in about 52 countries. And the couple who developed this workshop originally were Dr. Javier Hendricks and Helen LaKelly Hunt. And so today, I have invited two guests onto the show, and they are certified Imago relationship therapists, and they will run this workshop. They are Tamara Adelman and Maureen McEvoy, and both of these have been therapists for the last 20 years. And specifically, they have run this workshop in the Greater Vancouver area in British Columbia of Canada in the last 8 years. So to register for the workshop or to learn more information about the workshop, either go to their website, imagovancouver.com. So Imago is spelled I-M-A-G-O, vancouver.com. And you can register for this workshop if you are in the Greater Vancouver area or even in British Columbia. Or if you are in the U.S., you can go to the international website for this workshop, and it is called gettingtheloveyouwant.com, gettingtheloveyouwant.com. So without any further ado, here is Tamara Adelman and Maureen McEvoy. So hello, Maureen and Tamara. Very glad to have both of you on the show. I'm very happy to be able to talk to both of you and to learn about your expertise. So very happy to have you on the show.
Thank you for having us. It's Maureen.
Thank you, Quinn. We're looking forward to having a conversation with you. This is Tamara.
So I understand that both of you are therapists and you do workshops for couples.
Yes, we are. We both specialize in relationship therapy, and we are business partners. Mm-hmm. And our businesses are couples workshops, which we have run for about the last 8 years in Vancouver.
8 years. So you two have been business partners for 8 years.
We have.
Oh, that's a very good sign. Good relationship right there.
That's right.
How did your passion in a relationship get started?
Well, we arrived at the same place, slightly different routes. I work a lot, Quinn, with people who have trauma histories. And I was noticing that even though people were individually getting better, changes in their relationship weren't happening quite as much. And so I went in search of a method, an intervention approach, that would help build connection between the two partnerships. And so that led me to Imago relationship therapy, which is the kind of therapy that Tamara and I do, and it is also the theoretical foundation of this weekend workshop that we do. How about you, Tamara? How did you get to it?
Maureen and I originally met in graduate school when we were doing our counseling psychology degrees, and I was originally trained as a family therapist and wanted to specialize in working with couples. And so I then trained, Maureen and I trained in this Imago method together. And that is actually close to 20 years ago. We've been doing this kind of therapy in private practices for about, 20 years, but we then certified to do the workshop that we're going to talk to you about. And that's what we've been doing for about 8 years.
Okay. So where did you two go to university?
We both went to UBC in Vancouver.
Uh-huh. And so for those of us who might not be familiar with the Imago therapy, can you share with us what's unique about this approach and some of the principles behind the approach?
Well, there are a number of principles, and I'll do a few, and tomorrow we'll probably say a few. I think one of the founding ideas is that when two people get together, and it's an approach that's completely inclusive, whether it be gay or straight couples, that when two people get together, it's not by coincidence that they choose the partner that they do. That there are things about that person that obviously they might appreciate on a very conscious kind of level. Oh, this person speaks well, or they're very cute, or whatever they might say. But there's also something at work in a deeper level that probably reflects some of the themes that they experience, both positive and negative, from their growing up years. And so if we can get clear about that, then we can understand a whole lot more about what is propelling them to be a couple and what is going to be underlying many of their frustrations and disagreements and even outright conflicts.
Some of the other aspects of Imago that I think are really important that are quite different from other modalities. One is that it's very practical. It's a practical approach where whether one either attends the workshop or sees one of us in private therapy, the couple goes away with almost like a toolkit of skills to help transform the relationship in a really positive direction. So when you have skills that you can rely on, things tend to improve much more quickly. As well, the therapy that and part of the approach that we really like is that it's a very positive way of working with people. It's very loving, and it, sometimes people are afraid if they start looking at their relationship, things will get worse. And in fact, it's quite the opposite doing this Imago work.
And, often by the time people, couples, look into either therapy or a kind of workshop like this, by that time, usually the problems are quite serious and maybe even they have existed for quite some time. So
exactly. In fact, Quinn, we have some research that indicates that the average couple is in distress for 7 years before they actively seek help. That's a long time.
What would be the best, some of the best times for them to consider a workshop like the ones that you run?
Well, let me answer the question this way, which is to say, we know now that there are some very predictable stages in relationships, so that when we first get together, that's that romantic stage and love potion number 9, chemicals are flowing through us and all is wonderful. And then a lot of couples don't realize that there is an inevitable second stage, which we refer to as the stage of sort of power struggle. It's a place about, I want you to do things the way I want them to be done. And then your partner is saying exactly the same thing back to you. And that if people really understood that that was an inevitable stage, and if they couldn't find their way through it, that they kept having the same repetitive argument over and over again, then perhaps it would be a little easier for them to say, well, we're in that stage, let's go get some help to get some coach so we can find our way through it.
The kinds of couples that do come to our workshop come with many different experiences. For example, we've had, so of course some couples come because they're really in a very tough place. Some couples come because their kids have grown up and they're empty nesters and they want to find ways to reconnect. We've had a number of couples who've come whose parents have actually paid for them to come as part of a wedding gift, which is always really wonderful.
That's a wonderful idea.
Yes, their parents are really wanting to be proactive so that their adult children get the best opportunity for their relationship. So that's happened quite a number of times.
And the couples that I always really admire are those who probably have had the pain of a divorce. And now they're in a new relationship and they are determined that they are going to have a better outcome, that they're going to learn whatever it is they need to learn to make this work. Like they're the optimists there and they have such good intention.
Right. So are there certain issues or types of couples that might not be suitable for this kind of workshop?
Well, I would say the workshop probably would not suit the needs of couples where there is an active addiction taking place, and in fact that is really needs to be the priority to deal with the addiction. If there is active violence going on, our workshop probably wouldn't be appropriate because they need to deal, the violent partner needs to deal with that issue. So besides that, what is really wonderful about this workshop, in my opinion, is that regardless of where people are at in their relationship, it fits for everyone because it is so skill-based. So folks come to the workshop and learn a host of skills through the weekend that they're able to take home and utilize regardless of what stage of relationship they're in.
Okay. So because this show is sort of like a week before Valentine, I'm just wondering if we can talk about the workshop and maybe both of you can share with us some of the skills in the workshop that the couples expect to be able to learn.
That's a great question.
So the workshop, which is called the Getting the Love You Want workshop, the main skill that we teach people is a process that we call the Imago Dialogue. And it is a way of really providing a structured process that will allow couples to slow their conversations down so that they could actually really hear each other more fully, begin to understand what is happening for their partner, and their partner will do the same for them, so that they bring more attention and awareness to it. And when they start to do that, they begin to work more as a team to figure out what is the next best step for them.
So in the process that Maureen is explaining, they learn how to deeply listen to their partner and understand their partner's point of view without necessarily agreeing with it, but at least being able to hear it and understand it. They also do some, over the weekend, some personal reflection and writing, some of which they will share with their partner, which is quite powerful when you think about taking the weekend away from one's busy life and spending it on just focusing on their relationship. Maureen and I also provide a number of lectures, short lectures about many aspects of relationships that people find very helpful and interesting. We actually have fun over the weekend as well. We do all kinds of fun little processes and exercises that help to really couples reconnect. And then along with what you're saying about Valentine's Day, Quinn, at the end of our day on Sunday, we actually spend the last number of hours focusing on romantic things and caring behaviors and reconnection skills. And overall, when couples leave the workshop, they're in a really positive, loving place, having learned some very practical strategies to deal with conflicts or disconnections that will come up after the workshop.
Mm-hmm. So in the dialogue, what might be some specific things that couples can consider so that they can help to move the conversation to a more intimate place?
I would say overall, Quinn, without giving away all of the, it's hard to explain it when you're not there actually learning it. But overall, what I would say is that what couples learn is how to understand their partner's perspective. When you think about it, Quinn, where people go off track in relationships, it's because they really have a difficult time accepting that their partner is different than them. And while it sounds very simple, it truly is one of the most difficult aspects of being in a relationship, because we do very well when we are agreed with and understood. But when there's any kind of differences, we often don't know how to cope. So what the dialogue process teaches is how two people in one relationship can coexist with different ideas, different opinions, and sometimes even different values.
And I think sometimes there's that fears some people might have, is when you can acknowledge and validate the other person's needs, that somehow they letting go of their own needs and values.
That is so true, that we often think that to be able to say, oh, I can, you know, understand what you're saying, or I see where you're coming from, or yeah, if I was walking in your shoes, I'd get it, that somehow automatically means you agree. And we're teaching them, no, it means that you are wanting to understand, as Tamara said, their partner's perspective. And when we have a shared perspective, then that is wonderful. But when we have difference of the perspective, then often what happens is that we're, each of us is advocating for our perspective, our side, if you like. And we, whenever our partner says something that we disagree with, then we think about the rebuttal. And what we're wanting to encourage people to do is to turn that around and to be able to essentially say, tell me more about what it is that you're thinking, feeling, etc., so that I can understand. And even at the end, when you don't agree necessarily, you are in a much better position to figure out how to move forward than rather always defending your own position.
Here is how Dr. Harvey Hendricks, founder of the Imago Therapy, explained Imago dialogue.
The question is, what is dialogue? So dialogue is basically a new way of talking, and it's broken down into three parts: mirroring, validating, and empathizing. And the mirroring is an experience where you listen to another person and you get what they're saying and don't deflect it. Validating is when you see the logic in what they're saying and you don't have to agree with it, but you see it and you honor it. And empathy is when you experience the emotions they have with what they're saying and you really understand that that's the experience. Well, the biggest impact that dialogue has on couples is that it transforms their relationship. Not just incrementally makes it better, but it actually transforms the relationship, because partners begin to see each other in a new way, and they begin to relate to each other in a new way. What happens when you do this dialogue process is that you create a place of emotional safety. And in the place of emotional safety, people who are there begin to feel themselves expressing themselves in a new and different way. They become vulnerable to each other. And the reason they become vulnerable is that in a safe place, there's no judgment. You're holding each other's reality without judgment, without criticism, without any kind of blame or disagreement even. It's simply them being themselves. And when you hold people in that space, the otherness of each other begins to emerge with great delineation and clarity. You see the other as not you, and they see you as not them. And when that otherness emerges, then what can happen is connection at a very deep level. And we think that also what happens here is that love can be born, because love is in fact two people who are an other to each other, caring for each other's welfare and being an advocate of each other's potential. The fascinating part about this for Helen and me, as we have looked at couples over the years, is that once that wholeness occurs, the conflict level in the relationship goes down, couples become interested in something other than themselves. They have energy that's been used in conflict and fighting, now free to be used to do something constructive and creative. So they turn that energy into social action. Dialogue is not only a conversation that partners can have in a relationship that transforms it, but it's a new way to have a conversation other sectors of society. An Israeli imago therapist and a woman who's doing research in Palestine have brought dialogue, of all places, into a preschool setting. Children from 4 to 6 years old, and they taught them to mirror. And the children loved it. They began to mirror back things like, "So you're upset that I took your toy." And as they began to respond to each other that way, the children adopted mirroring as a part of the culture of the classroom.
And that was Dr. Harvey Hendricks talking about the imago dialogue in relationships. You are now listening to Tamara Adelman and Maureen McEvoy. Both are certified imago relationship therapists. And they're talking about the workshop that they facilitate called Getting the Love You Want for Couples. To learn more about the workshop, go to their website, imagovancouver.com. imagovancouver.com. So besides from trying to understand the other person's perspective, what else might be some other skills?
Well, another big piece that's important is understanding how our brains work. This workshop, Getting the Love You Want, is completely based on neuroscience. And we understand that the part of our brain that gets reactive in a relationship is not necessarily our big brain, our cortex brain that wraps around the top of our head, that it's in fact coming from a more of an alarm center place in our brain. So then we teach couples the skills about recognizing that, how to regulate yourself, how to regulate your partner, and be able to appreciate that if you're in a very reactive kind of place, it might be a whole lot better to do some moments of calming each other and connecting before you try to talk about whatever the challenging subject is that you have.
Along with what Maureen is saying, some of the other skills or processes, as you were wondering, that we do, learning how to regulate your nervous system so you aren't so reactive allows couples to learn other skills. We do some work around people understanding their childhood experience and how that is creating difficulty in their present relationship. We teach couples how to change some of their behaviors that are negative to more positive ones so that the relationship feels more supported. Mm-hmm. We teach couples how to do more caring behaviors for each other. Couples come away having done a relationship vision, a vision for what they want in their relationship and how to get there. So these would be some of the activities and other processes that couples learn through the weekend. Mm.
So lots of practical skills, like learning to listen to each other, but also learning some skills to manage the emotions. Because often I would hear people would talk about, you know, I know how these things, I've heard about them, I know the concepts, but it's just in the moment, it's so hard to use what you learn because of the emotions that come into place, like you talk about.
Absolutely. Yes. And isn't it true? We all know what we want and how we want to act, but unfortunately sometimes it's very difficult to demonstrate that, and that's probably one of the most important aspects of the workshop is is these practical skills that we teach. And then, of course, couples are able to feel much more connected and particularly much safer once they know how to deal with some of their reactions.
So how do you, often men are quite reluctant to engage in this kind of process. What might be some things to make it more inviting for men in the workshop?
Well, we always tell both men and women, but men seem to hear this more so, or at least need to hear this, is we say this is not group therapy. So if you're hoping for that, you're in the wrong workshop. And by that, what we mean is we do not ask couples to disclose in the group a whole bunch of personal details. That often calms them down. Mm-hmm. We had a male attend with his female partner very recently, and at the end of the workshop, he came up to Maureen and I and said, "I wish I wouldn't have been so stubborn and I would have come years ago. I knew about this workshop, but I didn't want to come, and it's the best thing that I've ever done." Hmm. So it's almost like just when you get people there, it's very clear that it is a non-threatening environment. You know, we say to couples that there's often one person. Do you know the word schlep?
No.
So schlep is a Yiddish word, uh-huh, which means to drag. Mm-hmm. And so we always say there's always a schlepper, mm-hmm, and a schleppy. A schlepper is the person who's dragging their partner to,
yes,
the workshop.
Usually that's the wife.
That is true.
Yeah.
And then there's the schleppy, the person who's getting dragged. So we really like to welcome the schleppies because we think it takes a lot of courage for them to come, but really, once they're there, I have to say they really get so much out of it and they love it.
Hmm. So how big is the workshop and how long and what does that what does it entail?
The workshop is a weekend, so, uh-huh, we do a few hours Friday night and then we do all day Saturday and all day Sunday, so it's about 20 hours in total. And we average about 15 to 20 couples at our workshops.
Okay. And so how do couples process sort of conversations and things like that individually?
Well, what we typically do is we teach the skill, mm-hmm, then we demonstrate the skill. And then we send them off to a little corner of the room, and the space that we have the workshop in is big enough so there's accommodates privacy. Privacy is a very important thing for us to offer. Yeah. We want to be able to say to the people, look, if you choose not to say anything in the large group, that's fine with us. Save your words then so that when you're with your partner and practicing these skills, that's when you need to be speaking. And we encourage people to begin by talking about some positive things that they appreciate about each other. And then when we get to talking about some of these frustrations that every couple has, we encourage people to begin, because they're just learning, to talk about, you know, a smaller little frustration that might even seem a little bit petty. That's a perfect way to begin to learn how to put this together, because it is on the surface, when you say the words, it's not that difficult to imagine doing, but when you actually start to try to really listen to your partner and silence that part of you that wants to do the yeah, but, you know, what about the time when you, and whatever defensive reaction we have, that takes a lot of energy. So we encourage people then to start small and have some success working their way through the entire dialogue, which has a number of steps to it.
You know, some same-sex couples might be reluctant going to workshops like this and sort of being public about their relationship. What do you have to say to them to encourage them?
Well, I would say two things. I would say that in Vancouver, with the changes that have happened in society, the fact that it's legal to get married, we see less and less of that hesitation. And we are very, very clear that we want to be absolutely inclusive. What Tamara and I want to be able to do on Friday night is to look out at the room of our couples and see Vancouver represented. And so that means we're going to have straight couples, gay couples, maybe even some transgender couples. We're going to have people from different backgrounds, culturally and racially. We want to see all of that diversity in the room, and that we want to make it a safe place for everyone to show up. The research around this is pretty clear, Quinn, that the kinds of issues that couples are dealing with, by and large, are the same across all of those diverse kinds of backgrounds. And so we want to focus on the commonalities and teach the skills. And we have established a very good reputation, I think, for being a welcoming, inclusive workshop. And that shows up in our registration.
Interestingly, Quinn, we used to run a same-sex workshop in Vancouver at least once a year, sometimes twice a year, just so same-sex couples could feel more comfortable. And we've actually stopped doing that over the last couple of years because the feedback we've had is that all couples just want to be together, and it's such a safe environment. We haven't even had to do that. So that's been really great for us, that we just offer now an integrated workshop for everyone.
So in terms of, you know, intimacy, are there any considerations for same-sex couples?
So you're asking, Quinn, in terms of intimacy, you're referring to sexual intimacy?
No, just sort of because you talked earlier about managing emotions and the dialogue with each other, that kind of intimacy. Are there any sort of considerations for same-sex couples, or are they pretty much kind of struggling with similar issues?
Right. So I would say that generally they are struggling with the same kind of issues in the here and now. But remember, Tamara mentioned that we do these little lectures that kind of explain sort of our personal journeys to how we get to be the person we are now in 2016. Mm-hmm. Well, if I realize early in my life that I am somehow different from the mainstream, then that might influence the way that I perceive myself or the way that I grow up in some way that therefore might be showing up. But generally speaking, same-sex couples are going to report the same kinds of frustrations about the same kinds of issues and have some differences perhaps about what their expectations are that they should be able to do it, but generally more similar than different.
So what have been some of the highlights in both of your journey to empower couples?
Lots of highlights, Quinn.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Particularly, I would say the greatest highlight is both in my private practice, but also in the workshop, when you see couples who have really been struggling with some very serious relationship issues, and they have the ability through using these Imago skills to really turn things around. And that happens all the time. We have couples who come to our workshop who have had affairs. We have couples who come separated. We have couples who have had some long-standing struggles. And to see them find a way to break through and start to connect and begin to build trust again makes it all worthwhile. It's a very beautiful experience.
What might be some, in your opinions, what might be some differences between, you know, couple counseling versus the workshops?
There's a couple ways that I would answer that. I would say that particularly, I'm speaking now particularly about the couple who have, you know, perhaps been in distress for some time and now they're finally reaching out to get some help, that to be able to be in the weekend workshop, it's a very intensive corrective experience. It's kind of equivalent to, you know, like they're a big ocean liner and it takes a while to do the kind of course correction. But if you come and you do a weekend workshop, then you get kind of reset and in a different direction and you get to move forward. And for those couples who are very distressed, often they will need to do some kinds of follow-up activities. So they might need to see a therapist such as myself or Tamara or any of the other Marvel therapists in our community, or they might need to do some of the follow-up half-day workshops that Tamara and I present in order to kind of keep their journey alive, keep them thinking about it, keep them being aware of it. Then the workshop provides kind of a big picture, a big understanding of what's happening. And then in the couples therapy session, the private sessions, there's a place to go really deep with that. And there's a place to really understand how some of those concepts show up for each of the partners and then be able to really dialogue about that in order to make change possible. Would you add anything, Tamara?
The only thing I would add is that in the weekend workshop, because we have so much time, we're able to present a whole model and a whole set of skills that would take a very long time to do in therapy, because weekly therapy sessions would take months and months to get to where we get to on that weekend workshop. So it's kind of like a very positive immersion process. And I think that's one of the things couples love about it.
Yeah, and I think I can just imagine it's sort of, like you said, more positive and less problem focused.
Absolutely.
I can also, I would guess too that being in the workshop with couples and talking about different phenomenon might sort of normalize the issues a little bit.
You are so correct about that. I mean, we know that there are certain issues that show up all the time, and we predict it. We tell stories about how we've dealt with these things in our own respective relationships. We say over and over again in a variety of different ways, these are the common typical issues, and these are the common typical stages of relationship. And this doesn't say anything specific about you two, it just says you're a couple on the journey. So they're really come away from this, breaking that sense of isolation. You know, we live in a culture that really doesn't support couples in terms of giving them the tools, giving them the education that they might need in order to be able to flourish in their relationships. We spend a lot of time teaching kids in school about violence is preventable and how to protect yourself against date rape and how to have safe sex. But we don't spend very much time talking about things in terms of listening skills, being empathy skills, those kinds of things that we need in order to have a good relationship. So we are also bombarded by the fact that Hollywood and the fairy tales all teach a highly, highly unrealistic portrayal of what relationship is like. So we do a lot of, this is very common, this is very validating.
Yeah, so that must be a big sense of hope for them.
I think it does. I really think it does. And I will say another little piece about the workshop, which is the International Imago Organization has been doing some research about the effectiveness of the Getting the Love You Want workshop. And we have a couple of pieces of research now. One where we actually have brain scans of couples prior to going to the workshop, going right after the workshop, and then 3 months afterwards. And we can see that their brains have changed. And we also know that people have the most change, the most positive effect when they keep practicing the skills or they keep being around other couples who are also striving to have a really good relationship.
So this kind of workshop, while the couples in the workshop, what are some of the things that might be barriers for couples while they attend the workshops?
Quinn, if I can just understand what you're asking, what would the barriers be to coming to the workshop?
No, while in the workshop, you know, maybe certain approach that they take, certain attitude, you know, are there things that sort of keep the couples from really benefiting the workshop? So it's kind of a reminder so that they know not to engage in those sort of attitudes to help optimize the benefits.
Right. So I'll tell you two things about that. The first one is the major obstacle is fear. that I am afraid somehow that this will get worse. You won't understand me. You'll judge me. You'll reject me. I feel that I have been criticized by you before, so I don't want to be criticized again. So the major obstacle is the fear would prevent the person from lowering their defenses, mm-hmm. being willing to engage in the process, being able to have that experience of opening their heart a little bit, risking being a little bit vulnerable, and experimenting, seeing what this might like. I would say that would be the major obstacle that people encounter. Mm-hmm. And then I think the other one is one that we don't think about so much, which is we have an idea of relationship that is not realistic. And I'm going to ask you, Quinn, and the listeners to think for a moment about what your experience was as a baby. And assuming you had good enough parents, what probably happened was that you would cry and your caregivers would come and take care of you. And they would feed you and change your diaper and burp you and cradle you and rock around. And if you were still unhappy, even very colicky, they would keep on trying to make you feel better. And they would go so far as to, you know, put you in the car seat and drive around in the car because that might be something that would make you sleep, even if it was 2 o'clock in the morning. So when you boil that all down, our earliest experience of relationship is that I don't have to tell you what I want. You should just know, and you come running and you give it to me, and you give it to me until I am happy. And if we have that mindset as an expectation from our partner, then that will represent a big obstacle because our partners are not mind readers. They do not know what we want, and they perhaps don't even know how to give it. So we have to be willing to be curious, to understand that about ourselves, and then be able to tell our partners that. Does that make some sense?
So a lot of time we assume that our partners or spouses kind of like mind readers.
You
should know me by now.
And well, if you I don't shouldn't know, have to tell you. You right. should know me, and if you loved me, you would.
That's right.
And this is part of what at the workshop we talk about. Early on, even on the first Friday night, so we break down some of these myths right away. Mm. So some of those barriers you're wondering about actually get broken down right away so that folks have a different expectation that weekend. And we see people's defenses just come down so quickly because we all know that relationships are something that most of us want. And we also experience them to be very challenging. And what we know is that when people get to the workshop, they do their best to try and learn how to be better partners. And so once we get folks there, it actually goes fairly smoothly. And as I said, in a very, very positive direction.
Mm-hmm. So I would imagine the energy there on Friday evening versus Sunday might be quite different, huh?
Well, Friday evening people, of course, are somewhat anxious.
Yeah.
And they just don't know what to expect, and it's taken a lot for them to come. And by Sunday evening, there's such a sense of laughter and relaxation and happiness. We should do a video of, you know, the before and the after, because it is actually palpable how different it is.
Yeah. On Saturday and Sunday, how long, how many hours each day?
The workshop is from 8:30 to 6:30 Saturday and Sunday.
Wow, so quite intense.
People really are there to work and change their relationships, and it's intense in a positive way.
Yeah, no, I feel like
a long day. Yep.
Yeah, good. How do they say that? Good bang for the buck.
Good bang for the buck.
Because by the time you have lunch and all those things, right? Because sometimes you sign up for certain workshops and it's only 5-6 hours, and no, that's great. So, how would they register your workshop?
Well, if they wanted to register for our workshop, they could find out about us on our website. As Maureen said, it's called Getting the Love You Want. Our actual website ourselves is www.imagovancouver.com. So it's imagovancouver.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a nice website with all kinds of questions and answers and a way to register there. And if I could say that our next workshop is actually just after Valentine's Day. It will be March 4th through the 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And the one after that is June 3rd through the 5th.
Yeah.
We do hold our workshop at a very beautiful space out at UBC in Vancouver. And it's called the Lew Center for Global Studies. And so that's March 4th through 6th. If anybody's interested, they can go on our website and find out about it.
Mm-hmm. And who was the founder of Imago Therapy?
The founder of Imago Therapy is are two people, two long-term partners, Harvel Hendricks and Helen LaKelly Hunt. And Harvel Hendricks and Helen wrote a book, mm-hmm. which has sold hundreds of thousands of copies around the world, and it is called Getting the Love You Want. For any of your listeners who are real fans of Oprah back in the day,
yeah.
Oprah would say that Harvel Hendricks was her favorite psychologist,
mm-hmm.
and I believe he was on her show over 17 times. So mm-hmm. she's a big proponent. And the book has been so popular, it's actually been translated in many different languages. And our workshop, which we are bragging about, we feel like we can, mm-hmm. We are certified to run it, but Harvel and Helen actually developed it.
Right.
So it is their workshop. It's a trademark workshop, and it's all around the world.
In fact, right now, Quinn, as we speak, this there are probably workshops happening in about 10, 12 countries as every weekend. Imago therapists and workshop presenters are represented in over 52 countries in the world.
So basically, if they are kind of in the Lower Mainland or in BC, close to you, they go to your website, imagovancouver.com, right?
And absolutely. And the people come to our workshops from all over. We often have folks who have come up from the States. We have people who fly in for it from across the country. We have people who come from all over the province. So coming to our workshop is sometimes a bit of an international and a national experience because we have people who come from so many places. So that's always really exciting as well.
Okay. Well, it sounds like both of you are very passionate about your work. So it's been really great talking with you.
Well, thank you for having us on today. It's been wonderful to talk to you. And we are very passionate about it because I think at the end of all of our years as being therapists, what we know is this stuff works.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's easy to be so excited about it because it actually works.
Thanks, Quinn, for the opportunity to be able to tell people about a resource that's available.
And that was Maureen McEvoy and Tamara Adilman. Both are certified Imago relationship therapists, and they were talking about the workshop that they facilitate called Getting the Love You Want. So for more information about the workshop, go to the website imagovancouver.com. Here is another clip from Dr. Harvey Hendricks.
So what we call here more technically the principle of otherness, the principle of otherness, that couples don't get it, that there are others in the world, and that one of them lives in their house. And they also, couples, engage in parallel monologues. This is in the natural condition, which is to listen to the sound of their own voice. But they do not, because they don't live with another person, have an ear to another voice, that there is another reality, and that one of those people with that other reality lives in their house with them, goes to bed with them at night. And therefore, they live in their own world, not knowing other people live in their worlds. And so it's like, we're one, but I'm the one. very clear. I've often said that to Helen. Well, this is the way it is. Helen would said, not for me. Well, then there's something wrong with you. Not with your thinking. I mean, that we can fix your thinking. There's something wrong with you who would have a thought like that. This is a systemic problem, not a cognitive problem. Because we can fix a cognition, but because the cognition fix doesn't stay, that means that the engine we put that spark plug in is defective. And then couples are negative. I mean, if you hear something that'll just blow you away. After today, I want you, when you walk down the street and you hear people talking, I want you to count the number of negative statements people make. And couples do that in magnitude, and most of it is about their partner. You won't, you don't, you can't, you said, you never. What? You're like, you want to go where? When? And why? How could you have that thought? When did you get it? That's like your mother. Just negation. Oh, and the biggest one is the eye roll. I don't know. Can I do it? Can you do the eye roll? Yes. You close one eye, right? And it's not a wink. It's a disgust. You know, it's the major put down. So negativity is defined this way. It's the put down. It's anything you do to another person that makes them less than you. Anything. Eye roll. That's a put down. What? And if you listen to this language of negation, you'll find that it dominates most conversations. So all of this is out of their awareness, and that's because they're unconscious.
This is Quinn's Empowerment Hour, hosted by Quinn Leigh Erickson, every other Saturday, 9 p.m. Pacific Time. For more information about Quinn, visit www.quinle.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. And you have a beautiful, restful sleep. Good night.